from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Monday. And thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Our good old friend Ursula, she's on a little vacation right now, but don't you worry. One of our favorite friends, my former co-host on Cairo Nights, joins us, Aaron Mason. Brother Mace, good morning.
Good morning, G. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday, man. How your weekend was good? It was solid? You ready to go?
Yeah, not bad. I'm ready. I'm ready. Good. I'm ready as I ever am earlier on a Monday morning than I'm usually out and about.
Good. Of course, Today is the holiday to celebrate and honor the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. So at 9:30 today, we will be discussing Dr. Martin Luther King because I'm quite sure all of you guys want to hear some of those good old quotes that he's given in his lifetime of 39 years that he lived on this planet. Today is also the birthday of Dwayne Wade,
former
Muhammad Ali, Michelle Obama, James Earl Jones, and don't forget, it is the 100th birthday of the legendary, may she rest in peace, Betty White.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to it. You ready to go, Chef?
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it. Ursula's top stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
If you ever find yourself driving through the streets of Seattle and you have expired tabs, a missing front license plate, a cracked windshield, or some of those fuzzy dice dangling from the rearview mirror, Seattle police will no longer pull you over for those infractions alone. As for cyclists, they will no longer be stopped for not wearing a helmet. That change comes at the direction of SPD Chief Adrian Diaz, who wrote in a letter to the City Inspector General that, quote, these violations do not have a direct connection to the safety of other individuals on the roads, paths, or sidewalks. Chief Diaz and the Inspector General do cite a desire to decrease unnecessary interactions between citizens and law enforcement as the reasoning for the change. G, your thoughts.
So police officers will no longer, I want to be clear, they will no longer regard these four minor violations as primary reasons to make traffic stops. Doesn't mean that you can't get a ticket for those things. They just won't be the primary reason for the stop. The dangers of police traffic stops have been displayed time and time again. If you go back to Rodney King in 1991 and to most recently to Dante Wright, that happened. We know what happened with that in Minnesota. Traffic stops are the most common form of police-citizen interaction. But for some citizens, there also can be some of the most dangerous. Traffic stops are now one of the most common acts of policing. Officers engaged in traffic enforcement have the discretion, of course, to decide whether or not they want to stop a driver. And Mace, I'm going to simplify it, and I'm just going to throw in some stats.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Latino drivers are significantly more likely to be searched than white drivers. In North Carolina, black drivers were 63% more likely to be pulled over and 115% more likely to be searched during a traffic stop than white drivers, despite the finding of contraband more likely to be found with white drivers. There is, when it comes to policymakers, they have continued to explore ways to make this better. And the one thing they did in North Carolina, and I'll throw to you, Mace.
Sure.
They had a reform that had found to reduce search rates and crime rates. So what they did was, is they had a mandate that made it to where, I'm talking to North Carolina, officers had to obtain written consent to search vehicles when lacking probable cause. Following that deal, the consent searches dropped by 95% after that decree was mandated.
Wow.
So there's a lot to go into that, but I know, Mace, that I know what's going to be spun with this. It's going to be Nobody cares about crime. We're all totally unsafe. I can't believe they're not going to stop people with a expired tab. And what about the black ice and air fresheners hanging down from the rearview mirror? Mm-hmm. We are so unsafe with those things happening. And what do you mean that that person doesn't have a front driver's a front license plate? What is our world coming to, Mace?
Well, first of all, I had fuzzy dice hanging from the mirror of my first car when I was 17, my 1984 Chrysler Fifth Avenue. Never pulled over for that. But I'll say, I'm not that I'm surprised, but I guess I am a little bit, that this came from law enforcement. When I initially heard that these new rules were going to go into place, I thought, surely the law enforcement isn't going to like this, because I've heard from cops before say things like, you know, we see something that isn't quite right, and some of these things can be an excuse to pull someone over, have a conversation, and figure out what the issue might be. But that doesn't seem to be the case. This comes straight from the chief. And they aren't things that really are going to where someone is going to endanger someone else. We're just talking about registration tabs, license plates, some air, some black ice, like you said, so the air fresheners, and wearing a helmet on a bicycle. The bicycle thing is, it's a good rule to follow, because if you fall off a bike and hit your head, that can be the end of you. It's very, very serious. But when you talk about laws and enforcement is different from, is this law a good idea? Is this law a good idea? But also, how are we going to enforce it, and what are the effects of that too? And so I'm all for it. And we maybe now the police officers can do better and other things with their time.
No doubt.
I just have a question about this, because don't get me wrong. Like, I've had terrible, crappy cars in the past. I've had expired tabs. I have a cracked windshield right now. And I've driven around terrified that I'm going to get pulled over and get a $700 ticket.
Right.
Does this not play into the perception, though, that the way we're moving in society is away from accountability? Like, I'll just tell you, someone in my family, my wife, actually, she saw the story in the Times on Saturday, and she asked me to explain it to her, because she said, why does it seem like people just get away with anything? Why does it seem like people can just be scofflaws when it comes to paying tabs, etc., and we're never going to ding them for that? Does that bother you?
Okay, let me answer that in a perfect way. I think Gabby and everyone else has a legitimate argument for, we are in a society that does shift towards some lack of accountability. I do believe that we are less strict, and it's making some believe that they can continue to do things without being in trouble. Gabby and everybody else, you are 100% right. But here's the problem. The problem is the things, let's just say that there's something that you might do. Let's just take driving in the carpool lane. Let's just take that, right? Yeah. Some of us drive in the carpool lane different than others if they're doing it illegally. Some could drive in the carpool lane and they're just like, you know what? I probably get pulled over for this maybe once every 3 to 4 years. It's a $100-something ticket, worth the price of admission.
Right.
Take my money.
Right.
Others might do it, and they might say, if I get caught, that extra $100 ticket can be the difference in rent, all types of bills. Mm-hmm. And so you don't pay it, and then you have a bench warrant out for your arrest, and then if there's this deep hole that you go into. So what I'm trying to say is that this accountability part, that some of us in this country can just be like, this is bothersome, take this, go away. And some of us, a $100 ticket is almost the equivalent of like a $20,000 fine.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can understand what you're trying to say. You're saying that basically we already have a system in which there is no accountability for people who have the resources to pay off fines. That right. Those are meaningless infractions to them anyways, and what we're doing is basically penalizing people who are poor for having cars that don't run, they can't pay the tabs, they got a cracked windshield, etc. And so this actually makes more sense when it comes to fairness and accountability.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's move on. Okay, so, G, I want to come back to a tragic story of two murders in Renton allegedly committed by a 14-year-old that you referenced on Friday. That 14-year-old, who's not named in the media reports, he's from Burien, and he's accused of murder in a drive-by shooting outside a Renton convenience store last week. He's also the prime suspect in another shooting outside a Renton Safeway that occurred back in October. And because of the serious nature of the crimes, the King County Prosecutor's Office is not ruling out the possibility that this 14-year-old will be charged as an adult. Gee, we talked about this with the 15-year-old who struck and killed a cyclist in a hit and run, and whether she should be charged. Yes. What about a 14-year-old? Two murders. Should they be charged as an adult?
Okay. No, I still don't believe the 14-year-old should be charged as an adult. The 14-year-old is still 14. Now, I'm willing to meet halfway on this. And Mace, bear with me for a second.
Sure.
Okay. I'm willing to say, all right, how about this? How about for the sake of this conversation, how about I agree that this 14-year-old should be charged as an adult? Okay. Let's just do that for this situation right here. Okay, cool. 14-year-old is going to be charged as an adult. Is that going to make it? Everybody feels better, right? Do you feel better that it's charged, that this 14-year-old is charged as an adult? Or you feel better that you feel better about the future and how this can be prevented in the future? Because if we keep doing the same thing, there's going to be another 14-year-old and then another 14-year-old and then another.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my thought on it. This is horrific, and horrific. I'm not defending this child at all.
Nope.
But a 14-year-old child, their actions are not necessarily entirely on them, right? There's a lot more that goes into why this happened than just this kid decided to do it. That kid got to that place for reasons that aren't necessarily on them. And when you're talking about dealing with charging someone as a child or as an adult, dealing with someone as a child or an adult, they're 14. Their brains are not developed. They are still children. And so a lot of people who are in favor of, the throwing the book at people is as a deterrent, right? You say if you increase the penalties, then people will be less likely to commit whatever crime. And that sort of rationalization, I just don't think computes to a 14-year-old mind all the time. They're just not adults yet. And so is it weird that and that might not be the best word, but it seems weird to me that there's a possibility that this 14-year-old could get convicted and go to juvie, and then at 18, if they behaved themselves and did whatever it is they're supposed to do while they're locked up, that they could be out at 18. I don't know that I'm particularly comfortable with that, especially given the state of rehabilitation in our incarceration systems in this country. But that, but if I have to answer the question, should they be charged as an adult? I say no.
My prayers go out to the family. I want to be crystal clear about that. This is an awful tragedy, a one in which the families of the deceased will never forget this. But I want to go into something about the risk for violent and other antisocial behavior that comes from childhood socioeconomic positions, parental characteristics, bad family homes. So this 14-year-old, you put him away. After he's put away, you'll forget, I'll forget, Chef, you'll forget. We'll be moving on to the next story. And again, the families of the deceased, they have to live with this forever.
Right.
But the question is this: what are we as a society going to do? Like, how are we going to try to fix this?
Right.
That is the most important thing. Because, again, there is another 14-year-old and another and another. Now, to prevent this, it has to matter, because I know that if you're listening right now, you want your kids safe. You want your grandkids safe, because you can't arrest your way out of this, and you can't arrest everyone to make your child or your grandchild safer. So what do we do? Here's a start. Again, this is not a fix. This is just a start to try to have the trend slow down. We have to continue to fund social programs. We have to build more community centers in neighborhoods. We have to understand how important it is for increased wages for people to be able to make money. We have to address food insecurity. We have to address with social workers, counseling, mentorship, job training, housing assistance. I'm giving all of these things because I'm trying to show you what happens. What happens for a 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Yo, when I was in 14, Mace, when you were 14, I was still watching cartoons,
fam. Yeah, man, for sure.
So what happened for this 14-year-old to be in this situation? No, for sure, this is tragic. You guys want to lock him away? No problem. He was wrong. But how can we prevent it from happening again? And that's where we need to shift the conversation. Because I know if you're listening right now, I know that one of your main priorities in your life is either to keep yourself safe, your family safe, and your loved ones. So if that is the goal and the priority of yours, you have to think that this whole arrest is not working. There has to be a different way to look at this. And again, it doesn't solve it, because you guys know we already have so many guns out here. So we're not doing anything about the guns. So we have to do it in a fundamental, rooted way to get to the root of these problems.
Yep.
We got through two topics, Mace. I don't know what's going on today.
Good start.
Ursula's going to be so mad. Don't write her emails, y'all. She doesn't need to know. She's on vacation.
Yeah, she's going to be so mad.
Don't tell mom on us.
All right. How about we try to lighten things up by honoring Dr. Martin Luther King?
Mm-hmm.
We do that next. G and Ursula with Mace. Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, she's on a vacation, but don't you worry, our favorite co-host, my man, Aaron Mason, fills in. Good morning to you, Mace.
Good morning, G.
Today is the day that we honor Dr. Martin Luther King. It's a celebration of his birthday. His birthday is actually January 15th, but we know that every third Monday we celebrate that day. Mace?
Yeah.
Where do you want to start at with Dr. King, sir?
Well, I got to tell you, you mentioned earlier in the show that he died at 39, which is something that hit me like it hasn't before, because I'm older than that. And just really what a remarkable, I'll use a favorite term of yours lately, legacy.
Yes.
That man has left in such a really short time. For me, what I've noticed, or what I've been learning over the last several years, specifically we can talk about Dr. King, is how different the truth of the guy is compared to what I was taught or knew about him. There was a lot more that he had to say about a lot of different things that I never read in the books. I never heard, you know, his what he would refer to as democratic socialist policies, and his fight for equality and equity in those arenas. Just astounding stuff.
Today is the day for a role reversal, Chef and Mace. So role reversal where The entire country, a lot of the country, pretends to celebrate a man whose achievements and values they have spent the previous 364 days ignoring, demonizing, and trying to, if you will, dismantle. Type voting in your search engine and see what comes up on that one. As a matter of fact, right now, currently, here in the state of Washington, Representative Brad Klippert of Kennewick, House Bill 1886 would ban any teaching in schools, including any classroom discussion about the notion that institutions in this country can be structurally racist. Let that sink in. That's happening right now. And so usually I have to tell you that in my lifetime, I have heard so many talks and so many speeches done by others honoring Dr. King. And don't get me wrong, Dr. King, I believe, is one of the greatest men to walk the planet. I think he was an amazing. I also believe that current day we have amazing men and women that are currently walking the planet, and they will be talked about in years to come. But it's the performative praise that's exhausting for me to see.
Yeah.
It's those that use their platforms across the country. There's politicians or people that you see every day on social media that are going to tell you their version of what Dr. King wanted. They won't tell you that he challenged systemic racism. They won't tell you that he spoke out about police brutality. And he actually advocated for universal basic income. Today's a day that a lot of folks will cherry pick those quotes. Let's be clear, like I told you and like you just brought up. He lived on Earth for 39 years. And the majority of his life, he never had the majority of approval here in this country.
Right.
It was the FBI that considered him a terrorist. The other day, I heard something, Mason Chef. President Biden's approval rating. And remember I told you guys this morning I was going to bring up 32%?
Yeah, I too.
Here it comes. President Biden's approval rating is at 32%.
Uh-huh.
That was news. Like, man, nobody likes his president.
That ain't great.
You know, I get Let's Go Brandon all the time on the show. That's ironic because now that we're honoring the late Dr. King, I want to go back to 1966 where there was a Gallup poll that measured the approval rating of Dr. King. And it was 32%.
Yeah, that's wow.
That same year in December, a Harris poll found that 50% of white people during that time felt Dr. King was hurting the cause for civil rights. And by the time he was assassinated, by the way, he did not give his life. He was assassinated. He was murdered.
Yeah.
By the time he was assassinated, 3 out of 4 white Americans disapproved of him. So the reason why I'm bringing this stuff up, and I know that today is a day that I'm supposed to put cheddar cheese on the broccoli to make it taste better. Today's not the day.
Not today.
I'm actually going to tell the truth. This isn't opinion. This is the truth. And I want to just make it clear that it was Dr. Martin Luther King. The things that he fought for then are the same things that are being fought against today, 364 days out of the year.
True.
Now, it might seem like I'm being negative, and it's actually the opposite. Because this weekend was one of the first times in a very long time that I actually have a whole lot of hope. Because I have an understanding that what Dr. King did was just do his part while he was on Earth for that short time of 39 years.
Yeah.
And it is our job to do our part to thrust and move things forward. And then it will be the next generation's job to do the same thing. There's still going to be a fight. Are things better? Absolutely, they're better. They're better because of Dr. Martin Luther King. And they're also going to be better tomorrow because of the same very people that fight against those very institutions and systems and people that continue to bring this hate to cause confusion so that we all don't come together. But I will say, you cannot beat change. You can't, time will change all. And I do believe that we are going forward into a better generation, a better world. So the honor of Dr. Martin Luther King is this, and his legacy is this, is for a better tomorrow. And that I do believe is possible. So I hope that the cheddar cheese was applied on your broccoli and it tastes better. Oh, and by the way, I do need to give you the quote because I know you got to hear it every single year. Yes, Martin Luther King did have a dream. And when he had the dream, he said, quote, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Is that the quote you wanted to hear? There you go. Coming up next, we talk about why these casinos have the state of Washington in trouble. We'll explain that next. G and Ursula with Mace. Freedom. Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Aaron Mason joins us. Ursula is on a little vacation. She'll be back soon. Coming up at 10 o'clock for the top three things you need to know at 10, we will talk censorship, garbage strike, and gas-powered tools. We do that at 10 o'clock. Brother Mace?
Yeah.
You ain't gonna believe this, man.
What?
Guess where I was last night?
Home?
I should, on a Sunday. You say that because you know me well, partner. Uh-huh. You know that on a Sunday evening, I do not leave anywhere after 5 o'clock.
That's
I'm
right.
Always home watching my shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the casino last night.
Okay.
I was at the Emerald Queen Casino last night. A few of my buddies, they wanted to go and get on the sports book and
do a little
gambling because that's legal now.
Right.
And so there's a lot of people. First of all, I want to say it's really nice in there. Love the TV setup. Love the seats in there. If you want to watch a game, I think that that is a great place to watch it.
Yeah, I've been in Vegas. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's really nice.
Sports books.
But you notice you said you were in Vegas.
Yeah.
And that's where it needs to stay. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we talk about all the time? I know you guys says, "Oh, COVID." Yes, you're right. We do talk about
well,
it.
Yeah.
we do. But what's next at the how often do we talk about our homelessness crisis here?
Uh-huh.
We talk about it a lot, don't we, Mace?
Right, all the time.
Mace, I just don't think it's a good idea to have sports betting here in this town, in this state. Look, I know I'm not trying to infringe on your freedom. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but we are already, let me repeat again. We already have a homelessness crisis. I'm looking last night and I'm watching the energy and I can feel the energy, the people, awesome people, amazing energy, but I know that energy is on betting. And I know that I'm in the casino, but I'm like, Mace, this ain't going to go over well. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, gambling's tricky, man, because it is an addiction for people, a real legitimate addiction. Now, I know I don't have it. I'm not a gambler. I get no thrill out of betting on stuff. I just don't enjoy it. So whatever that thing is, I don't have it. But other people do. And so what this does is just open up another area for people to fall victim to their addictions. And truthfully, as you know, with any addiction, sometimes you really do mean well. You do say, you know what, I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do that. But addiction is a very powerful thing and has control over you sometimes. So is it great for those people? No. Not at all. Is it something that that people can be responsible with? Can you gamble responsibly? Yes. I think most people can. I think most people aren't Throwing their rent checks on the craps table or betting them on the ponies or whatever it might
be.
But there are folks who are not in that boat. And so what do you do for them? I think is the bigger question.
I just want to say, Chef, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this. I want to say that I don't think that my friends are ever going to invite me again. Okay?
Did you blow it?
I was that one. I was the, why did you invite this negative Nancy here? Why is he sitting here the entire time just like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. Don't they know that inflation's at 7%? And if you did not get a raise, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you did not get a raise, hear me out right now. If at the beginning of the year, if you did not get a raise above 6.5%, you are already losing money this year.
Yep.
So my friends will not invite me because I was the one sitting there talking about percentages, talking about the homeless crisis, talking about low wages, talking about the jobs, talking about the pandemic. And I know they were like, dude, all right, man. So, yeah, let's get going. Chef, my bad, man. I was you yesterday, Chef. You understand me? I was the
the Debbie Downer.
I was Debbie
Every social group
Downer.
Made one.
Chef, what's your thoughts on this, bruh?
Well, I guess I knew this was coming, but when you told me this morning that, yeah, your buddies hit you up expressly for the purpose of, like, let's go out to the casino and bet on the sports book, that's the first time I've heard of people being like, yeah, let's jump on this sports gambling thing. And I just don't understand why we allow this to proliferate in our society, because sports gambling is a gateway drug. You know what? There are responsible drug users. I know that's controversial, but it's true. And as a society, we've decided that, you know what? Even though there are responsible drug users, the net negative consequences to everyone else in the rest of society means that we want to keep it illegal. Now, we can have that argument another time, but sports gambling? This is the cotton candy vape of entry into gambling, right? I don't know how to play Pai-Gao. Someone needs to teach me how to do that. I don't really know about roulette. That's going to take a learning curve. I know what a touchdown is, and I know that the Cleveland Browns are usually terrible and the Bills are usually terrible, so I must be a sports genius, and I'm sure to recoup thousands of dollars that I'm betting my rent check on. I just don't understand why we allow this to proliferate, especially when we see no tax benefit or revenue from it at the state level. It's mind-boggling.
I'm with you guys. I hate losing money more than I enjoy winning money.
Yeah. That's me. That's where I'm at.
Guys, I wasn't gambling, sports betting. I drank water.
And come on.
Going that like far. The chaperone.
I know that they had a text thread behind my back saying, bruh, do not invite him ever again to this. I was Debbie Downer, negative Nancy, everything you want to call me in the book. But you know what you can't do? I ain't tell no lies. Because inflation is 7%.
Yeah,
and
man.
A lot of folks are losing money. Coming up next, top three things that you need to know at 10. G and Ursula with Brother Mace filling in.